Welcome, everybody, to PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. We give you all the news, the leaks, and the
rumors.
Today, on the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games, today we're joined by two men known for their prolific gaming opinions and prestigious gaming trophies, or one of them anyway. The other one couldn't give a rat's ass. The guy that can't give a rat's ass, his name's Vikarth. He's here.
And doing well.
The other guy who has a great list of trophies, his name's Jordan. How are you, mate?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm good. I'm feeling good about myself after you've given me the...
But I just want to say, mate, I'm catching up. I'm on absolute fucking fire. Sifu, yeah, Crash 4, now? Elden Ring, Returnal, Nex Machina, about to do Village, all within a few days.
Yeah, and what number are you on?
Okay, let's get into some of the news. PlayStation Plus, Spartacus is here. We talked about this for months. We pretty much predicted the whole thing, but let's talk about it.
We predicted the whole thing. They three to the tiers, show. Everything.
They listen to the now, show. They're just... like, these guys know what they're talking about. Let's just copy them. Yeah. And they did it.
All right. We should mention that our predictions were informed by stuff that we had been hearing.
Oh, like, no.
That was
no,
being nah. reported.
Before then, Jordan, we predicted this.
We do have pretty prolific opinions.
All right. Give us a rundown, Jordan, if you can. I mean, it's so convoluted, but
I feel like I'm
best.
Jason Bateman in Dodgeball, explaining the rules of Dodgeball as I'm about to this now. Right. So we've got three tiers. So PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Now, they're together now. They've got, but it's just called PlayStation Plus. PlayStation Now no longer exists. We've got three tiers. We've got PlayStation Plus Essential and essentially, this is PlayStation Plus as you get it now. It is online multiplayer. It is a access to two free PlayStation games every month and online cloud saves. And that's about it. It's where it ends. So that's what you're looking at. You're looking at $59.99 US per year for a 12-month subscription. Obviously, prices will vary depending on your region as well as the how long you're paying for it. For a month, it's considerably more than what you're paying per month if you get the year subscription. We then move on to the PS Plus Extra. So this is $99.99. So $99.99 US per year for a 12-month subscription. Mm-hmm. It includes everything you get in the Essential tier alongside nearly 400 downloadable PlayStation 5 and 4 games. Yep. This isn't just like third-party games either. You will be getting games such as Spider-Man Miles Morales, Mortal Kombat 11, Returnal, God of War, just to name a few. This will also... Oh, no, so it's just that. These games are downloadable for play as well. So there's no streaming involved in this tier. It is PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 games included in that 400, and they are downloadable. We then move on to PlayStation Plus Premium, which is our third and our... as the name suggests, premium tier. We should mention as well, this is only available in territories where streaming is available, and we'll touch on that in just a moment. So this is the most expensive option at $119.99 US per year for a 12-month subscription. So it does include all the benefits from the Essential and Extra tiers, adds up to 340 additional games, with these games including a catalog of curated games available for both streaming and download for the PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, and PlayStation Portable, with PlayStation 3 games being available via cloud streaming only. They are not downloadable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is thought to be basically what's offered in the PlayStation Now subscription as it stands, but there will be titles added, is the belief. Pardon me. Okay. So yeah,
there we have it, and
this is what we're looking at. So just really quickly as well, sorry to, you're probably sick of my voice by now, but so in Australia, for example, we don't have the access to PlayStation Now, so for streaming, so we will be getting a tier called PlayStation Plus as a stand-in for the PlayStation Plus Premium tier.
So it'll be called Deluxe.
Yeah, so it'll be the deluxe tier. So it's a lower price compared to premium. It includes a catalog of beloved classic games from the original PS1, 2, and portable generations to download and play, along with time-limited game trials. which is something that's available in the premium one as well. So no access to PlayStation 3 games there by streaming.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing, right? Because PlayStation have struggled to, I guess, unionize, if that's the right word, the PS3 with the rest of the PlayStation ecosystem. Yeah.
What's that? Because it was that damn cell processor.
Yeah, it is like parallel or multi-threaded processing, I think. So look, it is what it is. It's really unfortunate. They've found the workaround for PlayStation now, but we just don't have cloud streaming, which is I guess kind of sucks. Yeah, I know. Yet we're if anyone knows Australia's internet is pretty much, you know, from age, if you think about Age of Empires, we're still in the Stone Age, the feudal age. We're not even anywhere near Imperial. So we're so far behind. So unfortunately, two people got that reference. But yeah, unfortunately, we do not have that cloud streaming. Now, one other thing I'd like to mention is I'm glad Sony did not. So anyone who's on PS Plus now will automatically get transferred to the Essentials tier. And if anyone wants to go more, they can of their own volition. I am glad that there is no price increase for the basic tier, so you're not paying anymore. I think that would have been a really bad move PR-wise.
Especially because you're not actually getting anything extra.
Yeah, you're not getting anything extra. But this would have been the perfect time for them to increase it if they wanted. But I think it would have been a really bad move. But so it's good that Sony did that. The other thing is the PlayStation, the difference between the base tier, Essentials, and the premium tier is double, $60 compared to $120. So are you guys willing to pay double your current service for extra, let's say you're in America, so you've got the best, you know, deal. Are you willing to pay that for an extra, you know, 340 games, PS3, backwards compatibility, some extra time-limited games and cloud streaming? Are you guys willing to pay double for that?
No.
I'll give you one. It's 700 games, including the PS4, PS5, like all that catalog.
I've probably played half of them.
The answer for me is still no. No, I won't be getting that one. But it's not the price for me. But go.
Yeah.
You go.
Sorry. I reflect Jordan's sentiment a lot in this, where back compat, it's a really cool feature. And I kind of think, yes, you know, you got to be friendly. It's necessary for the people that want it, you know, and I think it's like Jordan, it's actually not a big market. Like it's not a big amount of people that want it, but I agree that it's a nice thing to do. But yeah, I just don't think back compat is worth paying double essentially. I mean, I guess back compat is part of the middle tier as well, isn't it,
Jordan? But it's not even every game.
No, it's not.
It's a selection of games, isn't it?
Oh, maybe it's not. Yeah, it's not, Jordan. Sorry. Back compat. Yeah, you're paying double for back compat. And look, I'm an absolute like sucker for playing the old Metal Gears. I would love that. But is it worth paying double just for that experience? I don't know. Maybe I can do the tiers for a bit, upgrade every now and then, finish those older games and downgrade. But I just don't know how I would do it because I'd be paying yearly. I wouldn't be paying monthly. Because if you think about like what Jordan said, $10 a month means $120 a year compared to $60 yearly. So it's just not viable at all. No, stupid pricing. No.
And they want you to do the 12 months. That's why they price it like that.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. So I think a lot of people have to ask, is it worth it? I might do it maybe for the first year just to experience all that back compat. But once you have, are the games that they're going to bring on cloud, like, is that going to be worth sustaining you when you've got all these other games coming out? Like, I'm still on Horizon.
Yeah. Dan, which tier would you go? You go the middle.
I'm not. I don't think I'll buy into this. No way. What's the point?
I think it's good that they're doing this, but yeah.
I don't really see the value when someone like me plays all the new games and I don't have time for old games, really.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You won't go the premium tier either. Would you go the middle tier though?
Look, I might try it out. Like Vike said, for a couple of months, see if the value's there. But if I'm not utilizing it, because I'm really not utilizing PS Plus in general anyway, all I have it for is the online feature, you know, to play online.
Yeah.
And even then, I'm not really playing many online games. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess, I don't know if Gran Turismo counts, but... or the F1 games, some of the racing games. But besides that, like, we haven't really played Warzone much lately.
No,
and some of these other, and some of these other shooters, like there's no real online games we're playing right now. It's been solo. I guess Elden Ring had a bit of multiplayer, but yeah, go on back.
Sorry, it is $60 a year for the essentials and then $100 a year US for that extra tier, the middle one. So it's like $40 extra a year. Out of those 400 games, do you think if you were to play $40 worth of value, which could just be one game in those 400 games, if you were to finish one game, especially because you got it for free, that's not bad value.
They're leading with Death Stranding, God of War, Spider-Man, all games we've already played.
That's true. Yeah.
I would like to go back though. Like I know I said like I loved Miles a lot. I'd like to go back and play it on PlayStation 4 to get like then like if I'm going to play it again, I want to play it for more trophies. So I'm like I'm not going to buy it, but if I had it like on a subscription, I'd probably do it.
Also, they do sales and you can get some of these games pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Just think about that as well.
I think about how many games I would buy on sale and it would probably equate to
the price.
Probably more. Than the increase I'd be seeing if I went the middle tier. Because there's no chance I'd be going the premium tier. That's not my bag. Like I'm not into playing old games.
I'm willing to bet that this catalog of 350 are games you couldn't care less about.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of shovelware in there for sure.
I agree, but I would say let's say one of us let's say me. I mean, I've already got Death Stranding, but let's say I wanted to play it. I don't have it, I wanted to play it.
Yeah.
Let's say it's $40. Let's say it's the same increase. It's $40 bucks. So would I go to the PS store and buy the Death Stranding or pay an extra $40 bucks
actually
and
get
access to hundreds of other games? Yes, but with Death Stranding, once you finish it, do you need it?
They could get rid of it at any point from the catalog. I'm just going hypothetical here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is though, we're also having like the argument that like I think Game Pass has solved a lot of these problems where like and I know this isn't I don't think this is meant to compete with Game Pass. It's not meant to be like, oh, you get this or Game Pass because it's for different consoles, obviously. But like, even with Netflix, we're moving away from like the whole things you own, media you own.
This doesn't affect me. I couldn't care less. But I know there's a lot of people.
You're probably in a bit of a different situation there as well because like with your job, you do get like, I got like a considerable number of codes for review and for content as well.
Correct. That's why it's hard for me to comment on this one.
Yeah.
I'm in a bit of a
like, I know I do like, there are some like random games I pick up during the year on sale, but would I prefer to just pay a little bit extra and take a few more risks?
Tell me this. How much
games that I play during the year?
How much would you guys be willing to pay if it was day and date? You were to get every PlayStation exclusive on day one, what would you be willing to pay?
I mean,
max.
Let's say five exclusive. Okay, let's just take 2022. What are the exclusives that have come out? Sifu, Horizon, God of War. Let's say is coming out. Gran Turismo. Is there anything I'm missing? I don't think so. I think there may be four.
They're the main heavy hitters.
That is in Australian. Okay, let's say US dollars. They're what, $70? So 70 times four, $280.
For Spoken?
Well, that's going to be trash. But
Ghostwire?
Yeah, let's just say.
Tokyo?
Okay. Let's say that's $350 value.
Uncharted
okay?
Lost Legacy Collection. I'm trying to just give you them all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's say this. And their games are pretty much.
So it already looks like 500. So
let's say 8 to 10.
I would say the cream of the crop, let's say 4 to 5 that all of us
that
will
you're
play.
Gonna
the
play,
must plays.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, the must plays that everyone is going to get, you know, God of War, Horizon, etc. So that's about $280, $300 worth of value. I think that means that mathematically speaking, anything less than that, that means it's a bargain.
You couldn't ask for $300.
I know, you couldn't ask for $300, but that actually makes sense. Day and date means you're saving. Would you rather spend $300 at a GameStop or pay $250 a year to get access to all those games? You're saving $50. Mm. And you get access to, you know, whatever other catalog. And like you said, the Strays, the Uncharted, that other people might dabble in here and there. Like you would theoretically be able to, you know, $500 a year sounds absolutely ludicrous. But let's say $500 worth of first party exclusives comes out, which it won't. So maybe let's use a $300 value. You know, $300, that's only what? Five first-party titles that, you know, is God of War, Horizon, Sifu, Gran Turismo, are they must plays for you? Last of Us Factions, let's say, which will never come out. So yeah. Are those must plays for you? And if they are in this calendar year, $300 worth of stuff, then that's
I believe they're going to end up changing this around in a year because they won't get many buyers on the top tier. That's how I see it panning out. Maybe after a few years, I don't see many people buying in to the top
I can
tier.
See people doing the premium tier at the start because they'll go, oh, you know, like, you know, I've been dying to play this old game that I haven't played in years. But I could see that either people, like, obviously they hope you forget to change it and that you just stay with the premium and it auto renews and they get your money whether you play the remasters or not. I can see a lot of people, though, just getting the premium tier for the first year going like, oh, wow, I really don't play all these games and then changing.
That's what I mean.
I can't imagine there'd be a heap of people who don't get the premium at the start who do end up getting the premium, if that makes
later
sense.
Later on, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say if you're getting premium, you're in from day one. Like, there's no mind or decision.
You don't think there'll be a huge uptake?
No, because I feel like once they've released that catalog, it'll have the best retro games on there. And it's not like they're going to, it's not like the Nintendo Switch Online service where like they legitimately add new retro games on there that make people go out and buy the online pass.
If you said every PS3 game was downloadable, I'd be in a heartbeat.
See, I don't think I would be because I don't want to go back and play old games.
But then again, you've got emulation on PC, which I can do with most PS3 games. So.
Yeah. The thing that's really been bugging me about the people who have, and I'm not having a go at you here, Dan, with what you just said.
Yeah.
The people who are like,
well,
and it's like all the randos I've seen on Facebook commenting on stuff. It's all the people on Twitter.
What do they say?
Who are like, oh, I can't believe that we have to stream these games, like these PS3 games, when they are the same people. Who are like, streaming's the future. Why download games? You can just stream them. Like, you can't be on both sides of that. Either be happy with streaming and be happy
that
you can stream your PS3 games.
What's the feature where you can get someone into your game? What
share
are they called?
Play.
Share play.
Share play. I've played that, and everyone that plays with me, it's flawless. It's almost perfect. Not much lag, nothing. So if it's anything like that, then... There shouldn't be
and
any
I'd say
issues.
It's probably going to be even better if you play it on your PlayStation 5, right,
should
compared to your
issues,
PlayStation
yeah.
4.
I think the premium tier, I very much agree with you guys. So Sony have to be really smart in their marketing. They've got to hit the nostalgia. Like, they had a post the other day on their Facebook about Sly Cooper, and it's like, remember this classic? Mm-hmm. And I saw in the comments like, oh, yeah, like, please bring Sly back, you know, like, remaster them all. How good was that game? And it's like, if they market it such that Metal Gear, Sly, Ratchet, Crash, Spyro, you know, Legacy of Kain, or all these classic PlayStation games that, like, you know, hit at the nostalgia, you know, you can play it if you get the high tier, and they go on a marketing frenzy, then I could see it somewhat working. But I think, like Jordan said, the additive value would be, imagine if they're like, okay, for these old PlayStation 3 games, we're going to restore. I know this is, I don't know, the cost or the logistics. We're going to restore some multiplayer servers so you can play online. You know, and I know that's more up to the company rather than the actual Sony.
You're really hoping.
I know. But imagine something like, let me put it like this. I know a lot of people who would love, including myself, like to play Modern Warfare 2 on the PlayStation again using the old, like, you know, the classic Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer or Black Ops.
Those maps are coming in, by the way, to the new one. So you would be able to do that this year.
Yeah, true, true. But I just want that Noob Tube. I want the Chopper Gunner. I want the AC-130.
Oh, I don't know about that. That's broken.
I want the brokenness.
You do not want that with the level of players now. The players have gone
up. The best part
up.
About Modern Warfare 2 Ill. Was how broken it was. But I know what you're saying, Dan, but I'm saying, like, imagine, like, you know, a classic game like, you know, the Black Ops or PS All-Stars or I don't know, whatever, you know, if they're like, oh, you know, we're going to, you know, and PS All-Stars could be doable because it's a Sony first party. But anyway, I'm just saying.
Yeah, PS All-Stars is just so good. You know, after 3 weeks, we couldn't find a game, but it was really good online.
It was really good, man.
We won every game. We won every game.
We did.
As a tag team. But maybe we can do that in multiverses coming very soon this year. DC's hot property. Who are you going to play as?
I'm Vengeance.
Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do triangle, 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 back Who's square.
Who should I play as? Who's in the roster? Multiverse. I was like, game.
There's a lot of WB.
Scooby-Doo was in it.
Hmm.
Adventure Time, Superman, Wonder Woman, Shaggy, Arya Stark. Oh my god!
I know, why is Arya Stark in there?
Tom and Jerry. Oh yeah,
dude. That's it. Everyone wants to see Arya Stark take on Superman. That's if the ultimate showdown.
If you're Batman, then I have to be like Superman.
Shaggy.
Well, I want to be Shaggy, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, no, nah, you can do it.
Gandalf, maybe. All right. Oh, anyway.
Just a bit of a hard pivot for us here as well. There's probably something we... So we mentioned day and date games. So Jim Ryan has... So PlayStation CEO Jim Ryan has actually commented on why this isn't happening. And we touched on it a little bit, but we'll get his official quote. So I'm reading from Video Games Chronicle, who reported on the interview that Jim Ryan had with GameIndustry.biz. And so they asked him about Sony adding new first-party titles to the service. And his response was, this is not a road that we've gone down in the past, and it's not a road that we're going to go down with this new service. We feel if we were to do that with the games that we make at PlayStation Studios, the virtuous cycle will be broken. The level of investment that we need to make in our studios would not be possible, and we think the knock-on effect on the quality of games that we make would not be something that gamers want. End quote. And he's hit the nail on the head. If you want them to keep making these, you know, lengthy, meaty, amazing looking, amazing feeling, amazing playing games, you can't just be shooting them out of t-shirt guns at football games. Like, there's a premium that's involved to a PlayStation game. And that sounds like, it sounds silly, like to say that, to have like that sort of thinking, but like there is, like their games hit different and we should be paying for them. And like, you probably should be paying for Xbox first party titles as well. But you know,
do you agree with Jordan? Yeah.
Yeah, I've long said that it's unsustainable.
I think that is the right word. I think it is. And like, obviously I'm not a business forecaster or anything, but like, I don't understand how, like, it's a lot of money you're losing.
Yeah, because
you say that about Netflix, and what are they doing? I mean, they're
running at a loss every year. They've only barely broken a profit. They're pretty smart with their accounting, because while accounting wise they've always recorded a profit, it's the way they amortize their expenses. That's like the way they get around. Actually, they're getting a loss, but I think Netflix, Uber, what you see with these sort of companies, like for instance, Uber Eats or you know, whatever. So they've been running at a loss. Like their prices are not sustainable. But what they do is they try to get everyone used to using Uber Eats and Netflix and those sort of products. And then they raise the prices up once they've got that customer base. And now you're so used to Uber Eats. So what are you going to do? You're not going to leave Uber Eats. You're going to pay that service fee that they've introduced. You're going to pay the extra delivery fee. So I think that, look, that could be a viable model. Maybe Xbox, you remember when Xbox like tried to double the gold? That's where they're trying to get to. They're trying to get to the point where everyone is on Xbox Gold, you know, Games Pass, where it is such an essential part of Xbox that everyone uses it and they can't live without it, because you get all the exclusives, you get everything, and then bam, let's just double the price or gradually increase it over a set amount of years. And suddenly 5 years later, where they've doubled their profits, I mean, look, I agree with Jordan where, you know, the amount of exclusives Sony release, you know, even in this single calendar year we've had, has already been 5, 6. Is it sustainable for a AAA game like God of War or Horizon to be paid a lump sum by Sony to put on there, and all these profits are being lost when these games sell gangbusters? I don't know. That's where I'm with Jordan. I'm like, this is somewhat unsustainable. It's a very risky strategy. It's high growth and a lot of investment that they need.
And we should keep in mind that Sony doesn't have Microsoft money either.
Yeah, Sony doesn't have Microsoft. Yeah. Remember the age-old adage that Sony's a $1 billion company and Microsoft's a $1 trillion company, right? So... you know, it's just, you know, completely different ballparks for these companies. But yeah, look, I agree with Jordan. I don't think it's sustainable. I agree with what Jim Ryan said. And look, it's not like it's, I don't know. Value-wise, this is only my perspective. I'm happy, I guess, somewhat with the value I'm getting for the money I'm paying. I was more than happy to pay $60 or $70 for Horizon, obviously taking advantage of that cheeky free upgrade. But I'm more than happy to pay for that experience. But if that means, let me preface it with this, if that means that I'm going to continue getting these experiences, because us buying Horizon now means it fuels their next game, you know, the investment into their next game or the next project. So if it's a way to ensure that we continue to get AAA level Horizon quality games, then I'm all about it. That's what I'll say. But yeah, look, I understand both sides, because, you know, we're not rich. We're not swimming in money. And, you know, to expect us to pay, you know, hundreds of dollars, $300, $400 a year just to get all these games is a lot compared to, you know, Xbox Games Pass. You're barely paying a fraction of that and you get access to all these amazing services. But is it sustainable? That's what I want to see. In the 5 years down the road, what is Xbox going to look like? What is Sony going to look like? Completely different investment strategies, completely different. One's obviously like a Netflix style, an Uber Eats style subscription service. One is a more a la carte where you fund it very much like a movie or that sort of thing. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
So what's your point though?
My point is that there are two different ways of going about it. And Jordan and I both think,
what's the right way?
Well, that's the thing. Is there a right? There's no right or wrong way.
I think there's a right way for each company to do it. And I think each company is doing it.
But it sounded like you were saying that this is the wrong way to go for Xbox.
No. I'm more saying that I understand where Xbox is coming from. I just don't see it as sustainable. But Xbox hire guys that are, and you know, people that are 2 trillion times smarter than me, and obviously have a if they're going to this strategy, then they've obviously thought this out in terms of the forecasting. So I'm just saying, I don't know how it's sustainable. I really don't, Dan. I really have no idea how
you do know that. I'm pretty sure Microsoft acquires a new company every day. You know that,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Like, obviously,
how
smaller...
is it sustainable?
Because they just make more and more money each year as there's more and more people in the world.
It's like, let's put it like this. Those 5 games that came out for PlayStation, per person that gets, each person gets all 5 games. That's $300 for each game or for each person that Sony has. They get Xbox for all those 5 games and millions of dollars of investment.
No one's buying all 5 $60. On PlayStation, right? No one's buying all 5.
I know.
Probably a million people are buying all 5. And we're 3 of them.
I know, but look how much money you're losing if you just have to pay $6 a year once for all 5 games for free. You know, it's
yeah, but they're losing to gain in the long term.
That's what I mean. That's what Netflix does. That's what Uber does. It's yeah.
Yeah, and would you say Netflix is the best service in the market?
I guess.
I mean, they're dwindling
not with their
in my opinion.
Content, I don't think.
They're dwindling in my opinion, but they're still probably the best. UI is the best by a mile. No one comes close to them in UI. I mean, have you seen Amazon Prime's UI? It's terrible.
It's terrible.
Terrible.
I reckon Disney Plus's UI is pretty fine. It's pretty comparable to Netflix.
It's probably the second. Yeah, it's probably the second.
I would disagree. I know we're going a bit off topic here, but Disney Plus doesn't do a good job of, like, I'm watching The Mandalorian or Kenobi or whatever, and I still have to type and search. It doesn't come to the top. It doesn't recommend me. You know what I mean? And even if I'm like, Netflix, okay, yeah, I do categorize by this.
That's probably because they know it's a bad show, though. They don't want you to watch it.
But I would say that Disney, there are times when I've used Disney Plus when I'm like, I want to just watch an action movie that does that like this.
Yeah.
But they just do such a bad job of recommending. Like Netflix have all these categories because you've watched this or movies like this or comedies, and they just do such a good job.
I think the same's for this PS Plus. It's all over the shop. Whoa, I can hear myself.
I can hear.
Whoa, I can hear myself.
Jordan, I think that's you, buddy.
What's happened?
Jordan, I think that's you. He's gone off the rails, Jordan.
He's gone off the rails.
Jordan. Mute yourself.
What's happened?
Mute yourself.
There we go.
We can hear ourselves through you, Jordan. Yeah, I sort of want to leave that in.
I want to leave that in.
I reckon PS Plus's UI is now he's back.
Is he still doing it? Is it?
Yeah, it is. Here we go. Oh, he's unplugged. He's put it into controller port too, so Psycho Mantis can't read his mind.
Have we ever had a smooth show?
Yeah, I think episode one.
Episode one. Ever since then, it's gone downhill.
No, do you know, Dan? Do you know the best episode we've done? Say it, Dan. Say it.
The Last of Us spoiler cast. Such quality.
Spoiler cast. Absolute quality.
I gave the game a 10 out of 10, and people think I'm an idiot still to this day. I'm sorry. Technically, it is a 10 out of 10.
And I would 100% agree.
Storytelling, 10 out of 10. I gave it a 9. So, you know, anyway.
That's where we differed. So that's such an interesting discussion, guys. Check out the episode.
All right, let's move on from this topic. We'll probably come back because it doesn't actually come out until what, June or something.
Yeah,
for a while.
It'll be very interesting to study the numbers, see the attach rate and all that over the next 6 months.
They're rolling it out to the US first. I wonder if I can use it on my US account. I wonder if they'll block me off.
You know what else they might be rolling out at some stage? PlayStation 3 emulation on the PlayStation 5. So while Jeff Grubb was reporting this, so apparently the Japanese giant, hey, let me just make sure I've read this properly. Now the PlayStation platform holder is exploring support for its last gen console, although this may take some time as I'm reading from Push Square here. So it looks like they are still looking into the avenue of emulating the PlayStation 3 games for the PlayStation 5, but nothing really to report in terms of anything concrete yet. It's just something that they're exploring.
They've been trying for 10 years.
They're always exploring it. I'm sure when they bought Gaikai back in the day, when they had gone for this streaming solution for PlayStation Now, they thought they'd never have to do this because they thought it would just be the answer. Turns out people wanted it as the answer, and then when they were given it as their answer, they decided, nope, we want to be able to download it too. So looks like they'll be looking for something like that to fix it, but you know, we'll keep you posted on anything else we find out about that for the emulation.
Well, everyone always said that PS3 games, they always said that it was extremely hard to
tricky
build games on.
Because that cell processor. That was why all of our, like, the ports for PlayStation 3 were always inferior compared to the 360. Like, all the Call of Duty games usually ran poorer. Not massively poorer, but like a little bit worse than the 360 versions. So yeah, it's something to keep in mind for the time being.
Yeah, look.
On to the next one. So we do have our PlayStation Plus games for April 2022 announced. So you actually can download these already by the time you listen to this, I believe. So the three games that we have are Hood, Outlaws and Legends for the PlayStation 5 and 4. We have Slay the Spire for PlayStation 4, as well as SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated Edition for the PlayStation 4, which is a remake of don't know why I went on Tony Gregg then, is a remake of the original platformer from the PlayStation 2, I believe. So not a bad month. Outlaws and Legends, shocking game. Looks terrible, don't bother. SpongeBob 1 doesn't look too bad.
I'm going to make a prediction that Hood, Outlaws and Legends, no one is going to play that. It will,
Well, it's already been out for a year, Mike. It's already been out for a year. Remember when we said it was dead on arrival? Did anyone play it?
I know Godfall was free recently, the Challenger Edition. I wonder to see the numbers. Did it get a bump? I want to know. Because I think this game is worse than Hood. I mean, sorry. Hood is worse.
Hood is worse. Oh,
yeah.
And you've played Hood.
I've watched Hood.
Comments like that.
I've watched it. I have watched it.
And what was it that bad?
Yeah, it really was.
Well, okay, PSN profiles. Godfall has 27,000 owners. What's Hood called? Hood what?
Outlaws and Legends.
Oh god, 1,000 owners. Outlaws
and Legends.
That's what I mean.
2,000 owners. Oh, that's bad.
Now I admit to, and I think I'm glad you pointed that out. I'm coming from the point of I've played 30 hours of how many hours of Godfall, but I have not played an hour of Hood. I've just watched it and looked at reviews, etc. But I could just tell, you know. Also, you can tell by the attach rate. I think Godfall got a lot more players than Hood. It went really under the radar. But I think, like Jordan said, the SpongeBob game, I know I've heard it's pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was quite well received. So that's a good game. But I don't know about Slay the Spire.
But this goes into what I said before. I'm not utilizing the PS Plus games. Have you guys played any of these games, like PS Plus games, in the last 6 months?
It's true. That's a good point. I haven't.
Yeah, we go on about this week's good, this month's good. Never play it either way. Never use them either way. Does it even matter?
That's true. That's true.
I'd like to know from our audience if you guys play these games every month. I'd like to know. Let us know.
Yeah. Tell us what game have you played recently in the last 12 months? What is a PlayStation Plus game you played?
Because the last one I played was Destruction All Stars. Was that a part of it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was terrible.
That would have been the last one I played. That was literally a year ago.
Yeah. And then that got cancelled. You know what else got cancelled? E3 for this year. There'll be no digital offering for E3 either this year.
Oh, don't. Can we mute this guy?
E3 is dead.
Ever since we started this podcast, anytime you bring up E3, no, you are wrong because it's coming back next year. So you're completely wrong. You're wrong. We'll see. They're coming back next year to a physical show.
Let me put it like this, Dan. Let me put it like this. Do you think Hood, Outlaws, and Legends is dead? Do you think that game's dead? Do you think that game's dead, Dan?
I was dead on arrival.
But it's coming out. It's dead coming out next month.
Dead on
it's
arrival.
Coming out next month, man.
Oh, okay. Let's compare Hood, Outlaws, and Legends to E3, Jordan.
I am establishing a precedent that just because it comes back, it doesn't mean it's tastier, not dead. Which one's
Brussels sprouts or a donut?
Brussels sprouts. No, I know what you mean. No, I'm just saying just because it's coming back doesn't mean it's dead. When I say dead, I don't mean it's gone. I mean that it's lost its luster. It's lost its shine. No one's really going to watch it. It's nowhere near what it once was. Summer Games Fest is, you know, coming up.
Well, E3 last year was really an abomination.
That's what I'm saying.
Jeff Keighley did well, didn't he? He left at the right time, and now
Video Game Awards
really dominating.
Summer Games Fest, you know, all these directs. What's E3 going to do?
Yeah, it's interesting because now I don't think of E3 as actually E3. Like, I don't think of like the E3 show. I think of E3 as the E3 period. Like, I have completely disassociated like the name E3. Yeah, I'm just like the May, June area. That's like E3 time. That's just what I've like in my brain. I've done. I know it's not right.
No, but
like,
E3.
Yeah, so when this happened, I was like, right. When this happened, days. I was like, eh, whatever.
E3 was once the NBA Finals, the final Game 7, and now it has become the preseason of the G League. That is all I'll say.
The preseason of the G League. The Jeff Keighley. That's Keighley. Like
the Jeff Keighley League.
Jeff Keighley. E3, you'll agree. Okay. E3, when there used to be those big PlayStation conference, 10 a.m. in Australia, or the Xbox ones at 6.
I lived for those moments.
And it was just incredible, some of the showcases there and what was going to be there. And now you get shit state of plays. Mm-hmm. You get just random announcements here and there. You have to watch a 2-hour Jeff Keighley show to get the Elden Ring at the end. Everything else
and
is
Fall music. Guys season 7.
You know, well, it was better back then. I heard Xbox is doing a really big conference, like showcase again around June, where we're going to see a lot of stuff. So that sounds exciting. But you guys don't have that console, so maybe it's not as exciting for you.
I mean, I'm still keen. I'll always follow Xbox. I want to see what Coalition are doing. I want to see what 343 are going to do, because Halo's in a really bad state right now. So,
yeah. I joke about that. Usually they do show like third-party games too, so that bit excites me.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see Bethesda, won't we? We'll see what Bethesda's up to.
Yeah, but are they third-party? Let's
No.
I mean, I'm talking about this Xbox conference.
Yeah. Yeah. But you'll see what I'm saying is, yeah, but how are you going to play those games?
A man can dream. I'll have to get
it. Same way he played Hoods, Outlaws, and Legends, man. He's going to play it with his eyes.
Let me ask you this. If Starfield comes out, it's a 10 out of 10. It garners the same success as Elden Ring. Would that be enough for you to go over?
Like, I'm always going to play Fallout. So if Fallout doesn't come on PlayStation, then I will have to get an Xbox. Yeah. But I don't really care about Starfield unless it.
Even if it did the Elden Ring sort of reception.
If it does the Elden Ring, then I'll look into it. Yeah.
And Jordan?
No. I don't have enough time to play all the games I want to play on PlayStation. Like, I don't have time to get another console.
Hey, man, you're not wrong. There's not enough time.
Everyone in this world is time poor.
Yeah.
So
E3's cancelled. And
it's
this year. But next year, I'm hopeful. Let's see what happens.
In the wise words of Assassin's Creed, requiest in pace.
Now, PSVR 2, they showed some behind-the-scenes looks at GDC recently. So now I've heard through the grapevine there's going to be an event of some kind or some sort of announcement in the next month that's going to give all the details, show off everything to the public as well. And I'm guessing that will include release dates and prices because we don't have a release yet. I mean, they said 2022, but is it really? I'm not sold. We'll see.
It seems hopeful, doesn't it? I don't feel like it could possibly come out in 2022.
Yeah, I just don't know. It's hard to say. But again, look, we've gone on about this. Our hype is actually quite low for this. Well, mine is. I think Vike is. Jordan, you're a bit more hopeful.
Yeah, well, I really like VR. The problems are being solved, it looks like the chords are being solved.
Yeah.
The time to set up is going to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
The actual gameplay experience looks like it's going to be made better. So,
yep.
Yeah, I'm hopeful for it. Having said that, I'd have to be overly excited to actually be able to get it because it's going to be a lot of money.
Well, you know, that Horizon game that they showed, that didn't do anything for me at all. And maybe would a God of War one, would an Uncharted one do it for me? Because that's my favorite series. I'm not sure, Jordan.
So, yeah, I think I like the idea of PlayStation VR more than I actually like it.
Well said, Jordan. Like, so that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, I'm so enthusiastic about the idea, but it's just such a commitment of time, money, and effort.
Do you think in your lifetime you're ever going to be, you know, those movies or whatever where you put the headset metaverse. On, you put the headset on and you're playing Call of Duty, you're moving around in the, you know, do you think that's ever going to happen? No, I don't think it is.
Well, you need to solve the problem of movement. You know, you can't really move in VR. I think
they've come up with treadmills and stuff like that, but it's just not realistic.
No one's going to do that. $10,000 treadmill.
No, it's just not realistic. So it's never going to happen. So why do they? They see potential in it, I guess.
I don't know. The problem of movement, I think, has always been an issue for VR. Like, I know that there's a teleport and, yeah, I don't know. It's always been an issue, so.
People love that Moss Book game. I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the new one came out recently. Include
that in the stories this week because it seems like reviews are being slow to get out because they gave codes out late. But it seems pretty positive so far. I didn't even realize it was coming out.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. Where's the marketing? Where's the marketing? All right. There's a new AAA project coming as well from Firesprite. So that we didn't know what they were working on. And now we know it's a AAA horror game. Okay. And it is on the Unreal Engine 5. These guys have more employees than Media Molecule times three. They've got a lot of people in here working, right, on this game. So I'm actually quite excited for a little horror game from these guys. They're also helping with that Horizon VR title as well, might I add.
I can't say I have too many expectations for it because don't know a heap about Firesprite, not massive horror person. So, you know, all I can say is I hope it's a good game. I hope it is successful for them and I hope it keeps them in the PlayStation ecosystem.
Can I also add, Dan?
What?
Not only are they doing the Horizon, they're also working on the Twisted Metal game because remember that was snatched away from Lucid, the Destruction guys. Lucid Games, Destruction All Stars, given to Firesprite. Yeah.
When was that? Was I here for that?
Yeah, we reported on it. Yeah.
We definitely reported on it.
So what are they doing now? Lucid? Don't know.
Nothing.
Dying. Yeah, unfortunately.
Don't say that. We shouldn't laugh.
No. I would love for Lucid to have a second shot at something. We just, you know, they can succeed. They just need to figure it out. But yeah, so Firesprite have taken on a lot of projects. And like you said, Dan, they're a huge studio. They're one of the biggest Sony first-party studios in London. So, or in the UK, I should say. So I think they're in Liverpool. I'm not too sure. But yeah, they're one of the biggest. So it does make sense that they, are taking on multiple projects. So what do you reckon this AAA horror is? What do you think it is?
I hope it's something new. I'm always hoping for new things. New games, new genres. It's like with Hideo, you know, people are saying, let's get him to do Silent Hill. I actually prefer that he did Death Stranding, something completely new. And look at Metal it. Gear, I loved it. Jordan loved it. Bike, we're yet to hear. Such a big Kojima fan, hasn't played.
I'm still waiting to hear Bike's thoughts on Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
It's coming, boys. It's coming.
No, he's a huge Kojima fan, though, guys. Just remember.
I'm the biggest.
Massive. Huge.
Or is he a Metal Gear fan? Let you be the decider because he wasn't going to play Silent Hill.
You got him. I like that this game is built on Unreal 5, by the way. It's I think there's a big leap between Unreal 4 and 5. So it's I'm glad that these new games are being made in Unreal 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and we're going to hear about that more probably next year, I would say. Maybe a teaser or something.
What a story to end on here, lads. Hey, what a story to end on. No, Sony files.
Not a good story.
Trademark for
I agree, Mac Dan.
3. Surely we're not going through this again.
I really love the voice actor, one of the main voice actors. He's a really nice guy, but the game was just very boring.
Yeah. I'd like to quote one of my favorite movies ever, Mean Girls. Stop trying to make Knack a thing.
That is not a quote from that movie, surely.
Hey?
Is that a quote?
No, isn't it when she says stop trying to make Fetch a thing?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going crazy if that's a quote.
Yeah.
Not that I've seen the movie. Oh, no.
Hey, it's a great movie. Kevin G all the way. What I'll say is, look, a lot of these trademarks that Sony do are just protective. Just in case they ever want to do it, they renew the IP or renew the trademark, I should say, or file it to protect the IP. Now, it's interesting that Knack 3 has come so long after Knack 2. Normally, you know, when they have a game, they'll trademark God of War 1 to like 20, you know what I mean? Just to protect it in case they ever do it, or PlayStation 5 and 6 and 7. They've just trademarked it all just to protect themselves. But it is interesting timing. Look, I don't know if it's anything, if it means anything. There's so many patents and trademarks that Sony filed that, you know, we don't report on, but there's so much that, you know, we just, it just doesn't, it never comes to fruition. It's just something that they use to protect themselves so they don't have to, you know, get someone to hold them hostage in case they do want to make a Knack 3 and say, pay me $1 million and I'll give you the trademark. But
PS5 if you were Pro, to have it, Knack 3. First
if
game.
You, if you were to have an Act 3, Dan, I like the idea. One of the commenters on the Push Square article said to have a co-op mode, like It Takes Two.
Say that again.
I would love that.
A co-op two. Oh, yeah, co-op. But well, it was a co-op mode in two.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, the co-op mode was there. So they're basically saying an It Takes Two style would be good, but I don't know. Is, you know, is, yeah, I just don't know what to do with that game. I've never played it, so once again, I'm not going to comment. but I know from what I know, the story in the world isn't like they, you know, it's obviously kiddish and, you know, trying, you know, and that's great. That's great. You want that. It sort of calls back to the old classic Crash Bandicoot kid style Sly. But, you know, I know that people didn't really find it interesting in the character of Knack and the story, like the puzzles they thought were cool, like when Knack could, you know, turn into glass and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Dan?
I think it's a terrible decision. I'm pretty sure the Knack 2 sales were very, very low. I don't understand why they would do a 3. And they haven't even announced a 3. It's just a trademark, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't even know if they're doing that. Could be just for a movie or something completely different. So we will see.
They need a platformer though. That, you know,
Mark Cerny. Mark Cerny's, you know, a fucking genius. Fine. Every time we watch a video, we go, this guy is way smarter than anyone else in this room.
100%.
Like, this guy is an AI. He's that smart. He beats AI in chess. And he wants to work on Knack. Didn't he? He actually developed the PS5, right? He was
like the lead engineer. Yeah.
So get him. I mean, look, PS6.
Maybe he sees something in Knack. Maybe he's that brilliant spark, you know, that they need to revive Knack. Because I know Sackboy's Big Adventure. I know that. I'm not sure how that sold, but. I definitely see Sony desiring a mascot platformer.
But none of these, none of them are selling these big numbers.
I think that what they've got to realize is that
they're never going
gamers
to.
Gamers have grown up beyond it because, you know, we've grown with the PlayStation. So, you know, while we liked playing mascot platformers as a kid, you know, not so much now. So. But I get that the younger kids now, they're playing Fortnite. Their tastes are different. So, I don't know. Is there room for a mascot platformer in this day and age? I don't know, because the young kids are certainly not playing it.
Well, you got
us have already grown out of it. So, I don't know.
Well, think of it this way. Like, we had Kena. It didn't do astronomical numbers. Either did It Takes Two. Great game again. You know, Sly Cooper, there have been rumblings. Will that sell well? I'm questionable. Crash 4, I don't know how well that sold either, really.
Let me say, a
lot of people that didn't even play Crash 4. It was a really good game. And I don't know. They just didn't play it for whatever reason.
So Sony were very happy with Kena, the numbers and commercially. So yeah. We don't know how much it sold, but we know they were very, very happy with it. So, and maybe I loved the budget Kena. Was lower. Like, yeah, I really loved the world of Kena and the graphics and the gameplay. Like, I was very fascinated with that game. Like, I know it had a lot of flaws, but that was just a really beautiful experience, and I really did love that.
Oh, okay. When are we going to do our Horizon spoiler
Interesting.
Cast?
Interesting.
How close are you away, Vike?
So, Jordan, do you remember those... 3 missions in the main mission where you had to go to the coordinates of the 3 different AIs?
Yep.
That is, I'm still up to that. I'm still up to Demeter. finding his coordinates. But let me say this. I have played, I'm about 60 or 70 hours in, Dan, still on the same mission, but I have done every hunting ground. I've pretty much discovered most of the map. I've even done the enduring, like I've done so much of this game and I haven't moved a mission, a main story mission in the slightest. Or I have a little bit, but I've progressed the main story, but I haven't gone that far at all because I have just fallen in love with doing all these other activities. So I don't know, Dan, like I honestly feel like I've done so many side missions and errands that I am probably just up to the point where I've got nothing else to do but the main story. And I can honestly finish that pretty quick once I've, you know, got
so
to
what, point. 4 weeks?
Maybe. I mean, I'm 60 hours in, Dan. I'm 70. I think I'm 60 to 70 hours in.
We need you to push because we've got to get this spoiler cast. Otherwise, no one's going to care.
All right.
You can do it,
I'll
both.
Do it for you. I'll do it for
all
you.
All right. And I want you to get the platinum too. All right, I'm joking. Okay, I got a couple more questions here from viewers. We're going to answer and then we're going to head off for the day. First one comes from Jared Mann. He's a legend. He says, do you think Hogwarts Legacy will be a great game or just another Cyberpunk? Start with you, Vike.
So you can't. I don't think it's going to be another Cyberpunk. I mean, Cyberpunk, you know, it was still a good game. It was just horribly developed and really rushed and had a lot of problems with the game, had a lot of mechanical problems. You know, there wasn't really a problem with the gameplay. So,
yeah.
I and from what I've seen, Hogwarts Legacy looks really fun gameplay wise. Yeah, I don't think they'll fall into that trap. WB are a high production studio and they have a lot of support and publishers and money. So, you know, Cyberpunk, you know, CD Projekt Red, they self-published the game. You know, they didn't have a publisher. And,
yeah, but
you know,
that doesn't mean that. That's not an excuse for the bugs.
No, but what it does mean is you don't have, you know, when you don't have a publisher, you don't have that, you know, the time.
The overarching figure support. Looking at.
Yeah. That managerial side of things to make things run smoothly, to make sure everything's been hit deadlines on time. Do you remember they postponed the game 4 times? And then even when it was gold, they postponed it. Like, it just showed that they sort of didn't know what they were doing in a way. And yeah, I think WB went for that.
How embarrassing. 4 times.
Yeah, it was really bad.
And it was still not. Oh, no. They're never going to release Witcher. It's never coming out, Witcher 4.
Well, I think they need to.
We'll be 40 when it comes out.
They need to get a publisher. They need to get a team to overlook, to look them over and to make sure that they're hitting deadlines.
I actually think they need to lower the scope.
Yeah, you're right. I think they've got a lot to live up to with The Witcher 3. So
focus on story over all these different narrative branching.
Mm.
Again, Witcher was the same. It had the same thing. So I don't know.
But just to answer Jared's question, no, I definitely don't think it's going to go the Cyberpunk route. But what do you think,
Jordan? Do you think Hogwarts Legacy will be a great game or just another Cyberpunk? What do you think, Jordan?
Great game.
Okay. There you go. I think it'll be a great game too. I've got high hopes. McNaughty, what would be your dream game? No remakes or remasters, i.e. Ghost of Tsushima, but Star Wars. Oh, so that's his. His would be Ghost of Tsushima, but Star Wars, which is I like that. My dream game, I've always said it would be Naughty Dog in a cyberpunk world. Third-person action adventure style. If it wasn't that, I would love to see a Mad Max game done by someone else, really focusing in on that car combat.
I would love to see a brawler that brings together all the PlayStation IP together.
Honestly.
Package.
Yeah.
A great story.
What would it just tell us, what would it be called?
It'd be called Title Fight, PlayStation Title Fight.
Yep. And Jordan.
Lord of the Rings meets Dark Souls.
Isn't that just Shadow of Mordor?
No. Shadow of Mordor's really, it's too actiony. whereas Dark Souls a bit more hardcore. I like that one. That would actually be sick. I'm not gonna lie. Mitchumus Prime. Have you heard of this guy, guys?
Mitchumus Prime. Nah,
he's a bit of a wanker.
Yeah.
What game do you think is a must-have upcoming game?
I know Mitch hates Horizon.
Hold on.
I just want to say Horizon.
What do you mean? Why does he hate it?
He hated Horizon Zero Dawn.
For what reason?
I don't disagree with him. Like, it was a very slow start. I just think he couldn't get into it because it was a very slow start. And yeah, just see little Aloy running around and finding a focus. Like, oh wow, it doesn't really get good until maybe 5 to 10 hours in, I'd say.
I think he stuffed up the question. A must-have upcoming game.
Yeah, like a game that's coming up that you gotta buy. So
say it's must play if we haven't played it?
Well, I would say God of War, right? That's a must play.
Why? Could be shit.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Anyway, Black Ivory, is that how we say it? I keep forgetting.
You always keep forgetting. Where?
I can't do this. Black what? I'm just going to call him Black. It sounds racist. It's not, I promise. I wish they'd make a new TMNT game, but like Gotham Knights. Oh, yeah. That's hitting Jordan. Jordan's lagging.
I would like to reiterate what Dan said. How do we know Gotham Knights isn't going to be trash? Because, oh, man. I get what Wavia's saying, though. Like, yeah, that sort of four-player drop-in, drop-out experience with the four Ninja Turtles, that would be an amazing experience. I 100% agree.
What do you boys think of Gran Turismo 7? I'm on menu 28. Love the game, but I think it's getting a bit flat. I'm the only one that's played it. I'm not up to 28. I'm up to, I want to say, 16. I'm slowly getting there. I like the game. I just fell off when they did that microtransaction shit. And it does, you're right, it does become a bit flat. I know people that have finished it. And once you finish it, there isn't really a great end game. So I think there's something there that they have to work on, a better end game. Because you just don't want to grind for the same event to get cars to grind to get another car. Like, and yes, you can play online, but some people don't want to play online. So you've got to cater to different audiences. And online is not easy on that game. There's some real beasts that play that, you know, the really good players. You'll barely win a race. They're that good. So, but I still like the game. Do you reckon disc releases will slowly transition out?
Look, I think as long as you've got issues with cloud streaming in other countries, like in the US, I can definitely understand the phasing out of discs, but it's simply just not sustainable to do that in other countries. And I'm not even talking about Australia. What about, like countries like Asian countries or South American countries. So I just don't think it's feasible. And plus it's so much more expensive to get digital games here in Australia than physical, you know, it's like $40 to $50 more at times. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's $100 compared to $60, $70 sometimes. That GT question was Alex. That one was Black. This one's from James. Thoughts on Quantic Dream's Star Wars Eclipse? Haven't seen much. I can't say much. Am I excited? Not really. I'm a bit burnt out from Star Wars, to be honest. The only Star Wars property I'm excited for is Kenobi. Jedi Fallen Order 2.
Kenobi?
No.
No excited for Kenobi?
No. Not at all. Not at all.
Master Skywalker. Well, look, I'm excited because I love Quantic Dream. I love Detroit. Now they're going the more action route. This isn't going to be a choice-based game like Detroit, but they are emphasizing the fact that choices have consequences. You're going to make decisions that have repercussions. I don't know what the scope of that's going to be like. I don't think it's going to be a Detroit Become Human type scope where you have completely unique stories, depending on what choices you make. Just the nature of this, they seem to have a large scope game and it's action. So I don't think it's going to be that deep, I do think it will have some choice. You know, if it's just Mass Effect meets Star Wars, honestly, where, you know, the choices of Mass Effect matter, then I'm going to be very happy. So, I'm excited. But yeah, it's a big undertaking. This is vastly different from anything Quantic Dream has ever done. Look at Beyond Two Souls. You look at Heavy Rain. You look at Detroit. Like, you can clearly tell they're this choice-based, linear, narrative-driven story. And here they're just really opening it up, and there's going to be RPG elements and choices here. I don't know. We'll see what happens. In order for me to have a good decision, I want to see the scope of the game. What are they doing? Is this going to be some sort of open world or RPG or linear narrative? So we'll see.
Their track record's good. I don't know about how they do things behind the scenes. I've heard mixed stories, but what the products have put out, I've enjoyed all the last three anyway. So yeah, two more questions.
The game open world. Sorry, it sounds open world. They say
I believe it is. I thought they came out and said it was open world.
Maybe it is. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they did. They came out and said it was open world. So
that's a pretty big leap for them. So
it is a big leap. No, you're right. Cohen Hamboy, how were you introduced to PlayStation? Try and keep this quick. For me, it was Shane Warne Cricket 99. No, I don't remember.
I vaguely remember my uncle bringing home the PlayStation 1 as he bought it for me, but I don't remember what the first game I played. I'm pretty sure I had demo disc or something, but I don't remember.
Problem is, we were so young that it's hard to remember.
Do you know one of my fondest experiences on the PlayStation 1, aside from Metal Gear Solid? A Bug's Life. That game.
Hey, yeah.
One of the best movie properties. Yeah. One of the best movie property games.
Wow,
ever.
What a game. What a throwback.
And the soundtrack, it was, man, that was such a good game.
Oh, what a great game.
Dan, I did this about a few months ago.
I'm going to look this up now.
Yes, I was just going to say, I did it a few months ago. Look up a Let's Play. You just get hit with the nostalgia and the songs, man, and the boss fights. Oh, great game.
I'm wondering if I ever beat it. I don't think
If you look up Kid Icarus on YouTube, he's really good at this. He has a great nostalgia-based PlayStation YouTube channel.
Man.
He did the Bug's Life.
500,000 views. Isn't that crazy?
I know. On to the next one.
Final one. Rank the Assassin's Creed games from worst to best. We can't do that, but what we'll do is we'll go our favorite. We'll give you our favorite. Because there's we'd have to be here all day. That'd be a whole episode, and we couldn't even do it because we're not informed. We haven't played them all. The best is got to be. Does it have to? It's got to be two, right?
Yeah, but Dan, you're forgetting Valhalla. What a phenomenal game Valhalla was, you know. Walking around doing nothing.
You've had your fun. Shit, there's been a lot. I would say it's got to be two or Origins for me. Ooh. Oh, no, sorry, I'm wrong. Black Flag.
I was just going to say, Dan, my favorite is Black Flag. And
we all agree on that, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I loved. I actually still have a special spot for Assassin's Creed 1. And I loved Revelations. Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
One is a real classic. I agree. Mm. Who knew in 2007 when they did one, would there be 10 sequels? Mainline sequels. Not to mention the other ripoffs far out. They've released 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 mainlines in 13 years.
Phenomenal stuff.
Okay, that's it, guys. Thanks for tuning in, as always. It's been a pleasure to serve you.
We will see.
I mean, what episode is this, quickly?
Episode 98,
what are we
going to
do for the big one?
I don't know. What do we do?
We have to come up with something. Any ideas?
Send your ideas in.
send your ideas. It's been a pleasure as always. We will see you
later.